Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack and U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai have announced the appointment of Aubrey Betancourt to the Agricultural Policy Advisory Committee for Trade. Betancourt, currently the Chief Executive Officer and President of the Almond Alliance, will serve on the committee until August of 2027. With a vast background in agriculture and international trade, Betancourt has been a pivotal in addressing industry trade policy matters and supply chain crisis. Collaborating with agriculture, transportation, nationwide ports, and global shipping line stakeholders, she has worked diligently to restore the export of American agricultural products. Previously, as the Director of Sustainability for the California Cattle Council and Western United Dairies, Betancourt united diverse stakeholders to develop collaborative solutions to help dairy farmers navigate new regulatory and natural challenges. She also served as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Water and Science at the Department of Interior. She is a fourth-generation California farmer. Farmers and advocates say the state should seek to protect agricultural resources and open space amid concerns over a company buying large swaths of farmland in Solano County. At the state capitol, the state Senate Agriculture Committee held a panel discussion recently on navigating threats to California agriculture. The discussion was inspired by a venture known as Flannery Associates, LLC. Since 2018, the group backed by Silicon Valley billionaires has amassed 400 parcels spanning nearly 55,000 acres of agricultural zone land near Travis Air Force Base. Harvest continues for the state's cling peaches for canning and freestone peaches for the fresh market, with estimates of good crops that will exceed last year's production. Rich Hudgens, Chief Executive Officer of the Sacramento-based California Canning Peach Association, said this year's harvest will likely exceed the pre-season estimate of 212,000 tons. That's up from 204,440 tons in 2022. In fresh market peaches, the state's estimated freestone peach production is forecast to be 260,000 tons, up from 240,000 tons in 2022, according to the USDA. California Bartlett pear growers say they are seeing a good crop of high-quality fruit, even though a cold spring and late bloom delayed harvest by about 2 weeks. Lake County pear grower Pat Scully, general manager and owner of Findlay-based Scully Packing Company, which packs and ships 35 to 40% of the state's Bartlett crop, said he is pleased by the results he has seen. He said the fruit is sized nicely and harvest looks promising. Harvest is ongoing in the state's two main growing regions, the Sacramento River Delta and Lake and Mendocino counties. U.S. Senator Alex Padilla has announced legislation to improve disaster relief to help specialty crop farmers recover from catastrophic events. Along with the bill's co-author, Senator Thomas Tillis, a Republican from North Carolina, Padilla introduced the Fair Access to Agriculture Disaster Programs Act. The legislation waives adjusted gross income restrictions that prevent some farmers from receiving disaster relief under the U.S. Department of Agriculture programs. Padilla said the measure could help California growers who produce high-value specialty crops but are saddled with high land costs and escalating expenses. While wrapping up its 130th season, Sunkist is focusing on a return of the California citrus season. With a grower base of over 1,000 members and a portfolio of conventional and organic citrus offerings, Sunkist is allocating additional resources to its Category Management and Consumer Insights program, promoting Cassie Howard to Senior Director of Category Management and Marketing. In this new role, Howard oversees Sunkist retail marketing promotions and global branding programs, driving the next phase of category management solutions at the company and feeding insights into strategic marketing tactics. For the past five seasons, they have seen how important industry data can be to customers. That, according to Christian Harris, Chief Operating Officer at Sunkist Growers. He says they are focused on supporting partners in real time to make better business decisions by providing fact-based recommendations with marketing and merchandising tools that support what consumers want to see in stores. Sunkist's access to consumer behavioral insights and category management solutions over the past few seasons has been pivotal to positioning merchandising offerings, packing solutions, and benchmarking opportunities for partners of the cooperative. Sunkist is gearing up for the return of its California oranges and has newly commissioned category studies and consumer insights ready to tackle this season ahead, according to Sunkist.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
The Crop Consultant Conference is just a few weeks away. Attendees will have the opportunity to earn all of their CEU credits for the year, as well as gain powerful insight from leading professionals in the industry. Brent Wernicke, an Oregon State University faculty research assistant, will be a featured speaker at the conference. Wernicke's role at the university includes research with a LiDAR sprayer through the Intelligent Sprayer Project, which focuses on management of insect and plant disease problems on specialty crops, with an emphasis on improving chemical use efficiency.
We use this LiDAR-equipped air blast sprayer to do research on different products and how they control different diseases on specialty crops. Mostly our crop of interest is wine grapes, but we also do work with hazelnuts and nursery crops as well. And this spring we worked with a blueberry grower as well. So kind of across the spectrum of specialty crops there. And we're mostly evaluating it in terms of how well it works. So we're using it with different techniques to see what we find.
Through researching with the LiDAR sprayer over the last 5 years or so, Wernicke's team at Oregon State University has been able to evaluate the way it works with different products for different diseases, he said.
That's kind of been our whole project here, has just been evaluating the equipment and how it works with these different products in terms of disease control.
Wernicke's talk at the Crop Consultant Conference will focus on looking at the different types of sensors used in sensor-controlled sprayers.
There's a variety of sensors that are used kind of for different purposes, and they have their strengths and weaknesses, so I'll go into that. And then I'll also go into some benefits of using sensor sprayers, so spray savings, spray drift reductions, and ground deposit reductions. And then I'll also talk about briefly a case study of some of the research that we've done and the types of spray savings we've seen and some kind of other interesting things we've observed with our sprayer.
As information, especially related to technology in the industry, is always changing, Wernicke said opportunities like the Crop Consultant Conference are crucial to staying up to date.
It's definitely important for people to attend these trade conferences, to network and see people and see what's going on, but then also things are always changing. So especially when it comes to technology, which a lot of this talk is going to be focused on, that stuff's always changing. New things are coming out. Things are updated. Software, especially software with some of these sensor technologies, gets updated. So there's just a constantly changing landscape. So these trade shows can be a great way to connect with folks, but then also connect with what's currently happening, the state of the art.
The Crop Consultant Conference will take place September 27th through 28th at the Visalia Convention Center. More information about the event and registration can be found at progressivecrop.com. For MyAgLife, this is Kristen Platts.
AgroPlantae is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
The Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri has released its annual U.S. Baseline Outlook Report. It includes projections for agricultural and biofuel markets and helps in evaluating alternative scenarios for agricultural policy. Projected prices for most crops, poultry, and dairy products all retreat in 2023 from recent peaks, and so do some production expenses. That, according to FAPRI Director Pat Westhoff. Among the findings, the report says if weather conditions allow crop yields to return to trendline levels in 2023, prices for cotton and other crops are likely to fall. High fertilizer, fuel, and feed costs contributed to very sharp increases in farm production costs last year, but a smaller increase is projected in 2023. Lower prices in some inputs will likely bring down production costs in 2024 and 2025. Dairy prices will fall. Other livestock sector prices will remain high. Dairy Management Incorporated is accepting applications from college students for the 2024 New Product Competition. The competition seeks innovative dairy product concepts and is open to undergraduate and graduate students in the U.S. DMI wants students to develop innovative dairy-based products for health and wellness consumers. Successful entries must meet competition criteria, demonstrate innovation, and provide value to consumers. The competition is an opportunity for students to develop new products in line with current industry and consumer insights to uncover innovative dairy-based products for health and wellness. Consumers are emphasizing health and wellness, so they're looking for products that provide benefits to digestion, immunity, joint health, and mobility, and overall health. The judging panel will include experts from across the dairy industry. Winning teams will get recognized at the American Dairy Science Association's annual meeting in West Palm Beach, Florida, in June. The contest will award a combined $27,000. The Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer August 2023 survey results have been released. Dr. James Minter, director of the Center for Commercial Agriculture at Purdue University, shares highlights from the report released this week.
Thanks for joining us for the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer August 2023 survey results. I'm Jim Minter, director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, and I'm going to share with you the highlights of this month's survey. The Ag Economy Barometer Index fell 8 points compared to last month. That was 2 points below a year earlier, but 23 points below 2 years ago. The Current Condition Index this month fell 13 points compared to last month, and that leaves it 8% lower than it was in July of 2022. The Future Expectations Index fell 5 points compared to July, but that was 2% higher than the July 2022 index value. The Farm Financial Performance Index was down 1 point compared to last month's reading of 87. That index, though, is 13 points lower than it was a year ago and 24 points below 2 years ago. We continue to ask producers what their biggest concerns are for their farming operation in the upcoming year, and the top concern continues to be high input costs, followed by rising interest rates, and somewhat surprisingly, in third place was lower crop and/or livestock prices. The Farm Capital Investment Index was down 8 points compared to last month and down 2 points compared to a year ago at a reading of 37. One reason behind the decline in the Farm Capital Investment Index this month was that farmers continued to expect higher interest rates in the upcoming year. In this month's survey, 60% of the producers in the survey said they expect interest rates to rise over the next 12 months. That's down a little bit compared to last month when 65% of respondents said they expected to see higher interest rates over the course of the next year. The short-term farmland value index was up 1 point compared to July, but was 2 points lower than a year ago. The long-term farmland index was unchanged compared to July, but it was up 5 points versus a year ago. Both the short and long-term indices continue to remain relatively strong, despite the fact producers say that they expect to see interest rates rise over the course of the next year. This month's survey included several questions focused on carbon contracts in row crop agriculture. In questions posed only to corn and soybean producers, we asked them what rates they were offered for carbon capture on their farms. And among those producers who said they'd had a conversation with a company about carbon capture, 47% said that they were offered a rate of $10 to $20 per metric ton, whereas 16% of producers in the survey said that they were offered a rate of $20 to $30 per metric ton. That wraps up the highlights for this month's survey. The full report is available on the Purdue CME Group Ag Economy Barometer website, which is available at purdue.edu/agbarometer. You can also get some more details on our podcast, Purdue Commercial AgCast, which is available on the Center's website at purdue.edu/commercialag. On behalf of the Center for Commercial Agriculture, I'm Jim Mintert. Thanks for joining us.
Agriculture has seen increasing online attacks in recent years. Global Ag Tech says technology makes running daily operations easier and helps to increase output. Different types of technology help with efficiency, yield, and profitability, and they include computers, robotics, drones, software, and vehicles. One of the biggest reasons agriculture has become an online target is due to the vital role it plays in a country's economy. Farms are also considered easy targets. Many farmers have not implemented cybersecurity measures and are unaware of the vital role those measures play in the success of their operations. Industry experts recommend farmers implement security measures to protect their businesses. Among some of those recommended best practices, farmers should have a dedicated contingency plan. It's also important to protect all login information. Make sure to put measures in place to protect against phishing attacks, and it's also very important to install antivirus software and make sure that it stays updated. The dairy sector is feeling the squeeze from lower milk prices and higher feed costs. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford has more.
The USDA is projecting net cash income this year overall to be down about 26.5% from 2022. That covers the agricultural sector as a whole. But, of course,
there is some variability by commodity sector.
USDA Deputy Chief Economist Cindy Nickerson says dairy is one sector, for example, feeling the income pinch.
And that's due primarily to lower milk prices and cash receipts, with continued elevated feed prices.
USDA is forecasting cash receipts for milk to fall this year by a bit over $12.5 billion, so a cut of over 23%, down to $45 billion, taking net cash income down with it.
And for dairy, if this is realized, it'll be the lowest on record for at least the last 10 years that ERS has been tracking it.
The USDA's Dairy Margin Coverage Program is expected to pay producers about $905 million this year. Last year, those payments amounted to only about $127 million. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
USDA has cut its fiscal year 2024 farm export forecast for all major U.S. foreign markets, including number one, China. China continues to be the top U.S. ag export market, but USDA economist Sean Arita says the department's China forecast for fiscal year starting October 1st is down by $3 billion.
Due to some of the weaker outlook from soybeans, dairy, and beef.
But still,
China is projected to remain our largest export market for fiscal year 2024. We are forecasting $30 billion for this upcoming year of exports to that market.
As for number two, Mexico, and number three, Canada.
We're forecasting Mexico $28.2 billion and Canada $27.5 billion.
In the meantime, Arita tells USDA Radio that ag imports are forecast to reach a record $199.5 billion next fiscal year, but in non-competitive areas.
Import of products like bananas, pineapples, mangoes, coffee, tropical zone products that we don't produce really here in the U.S. And we also have a lot of counter-seasonal type of products we import that sort of complement our own growing cycles. Think of things like blueberries.
Add to that processed foods like alcoholic beverages. The U.S. had back-to-back record exports during the last two fiscal years, reaching $196 billion in fiscal 2022, with new records in seven of the top 10 markets, including China, Mexico, and Canada.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.